Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back with you. Very busy Monday edition of the show planned today. We're going to talk NBA basketball. If you missed it last night, episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance airing on ESPN. Very enjoyable night of entertainment. I mean, I thought that episodes 5 and 6 much better than episodes 3 and 4. I still think that the series got off to a bang in 1 and 2, but we finally got to see more of the dark side of Michael Jordan. And when I say dark side, I'm talking about the gambling. Right? We really got an in-depth look at that, where the league had conducted an investigation. Here was my take on this whole Michael Jordan gambling deal, right? People made this a bigger deal than what it really was, because Michael Jordan at that particular time had no blemishes on his character or image at all. The media was doing everything they could to try to knock this guy off of the pedestal that he was placed on, and the best they had was gambling. He didn't gamble on NBA basketball games. That investigation came back clean. Michael Jordan's going out on the golf course, and he's spending thousands of dollars. So what? 10 grand to Michael Jordan's like 10 bucks to us at that particular time. This guy was making 30-something thousand dollars a minute while he was playing the game of basketball during one of his last seasons in the league. I think he could afford it. Michael said it best. He said, hey, I don't have a gambling problem. I have a competition problem. I really thought that was entertaining, though. We also got to see Kobe Bryant last night in the Last Dance documentary. I believe that was the last interview that Kobe actually conducted before his tragic passing at the end of January. So we'll recap episodes 5 and 6. And I also want to take a look at what could be the resolution to the NBA season. It's being reported of two locations, Las Vegas and now Disney World. And MGM has come out and is offering property to the NBA for them to go to Vegas and to finish out the season. And remember, there's a lot of arenas in a very limited span. I mean, you have Thomas and Mack, Cox Pavilion. You have T-Mobile. You have the MGM Grand Garden. There's four right there. You want to head off the strip, New Orleans, not too far away. There's another basketball gym. So I believe that that is the most likely scenario for the NBA. Disney World is also a possibility, which would work hand in hand with ESPN and ABC. And again, this is where the money rolls in. Forget about fans in attendance. It's about TV dollars. And I believe the NBA is going to figure this out. They are running out of time. It is May 4th right now. Facilities should open back up here in about 4 to 5 days. But the NBA has got to figure out if or how they're going to finish this season relatively soon. We do know that NASCAR is going to resume next Sunday. NASCAR is going to have a really compact schedule. We're going to have races on Sunday, Wednesday, and Sunday for two straight weeks to try to get things back in rhythm and back on schedule. We're going to be joined by Alex Hayden, play-by-play voice of the Motor Racing Network, longtime play-by-play announcer. He's been with the Motor Racing Network for over 20 years. We'll talk about that format and how difficult is this going to be for a driver to get set to perform on Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday. How are the drivers going to respond to this? How are the crew chiefs going to respond to this? How do you prepare enough backup equipment to make this happen. I'm really curious about this conversation. Alex Hayden's going to join us a little bit later on in the show. Let's move over to the NFL. Some very sad news coming out today. Hall of Fame coach Don Shula passed away at the age of 90. His family said he passed away peacefully at his home, and obviously known for his time with the Miami Dolphins. But I think when you really look at the history of Don Shula, I think he's somewhat underrated. You could make an argument for this guy being one of the greatest football coaches of all time. That's not hyperbole. That's not being a prisoner of the moment. When you take a look at what Don Shula accomplished from the sidelines, the guy was that good. And like I said, known for his time with the Miami Dolphins, Shula got his start in the NFL at the age of 33. Carol Rosenbloom, who at the time was the owner of the Baltimore Colts, before he made the swap and became the owner of the Rams, he hired Shula at the age of 33. He was the youngest coach in NFL history at that particular time. And in his second season, the Colts went 12-2 and they lost in the title game. He took the Colts to Super Bowl III, that infamous game where they lost to Joe Namath 16-7. Don Shula was the head coach for the Baltimore Colts. He took the Dolphins to the Super Bowl five times. So he had six Super Bowl appearances in his career, won an NFL best 347 games, and coached the only unbeaten team in league history. Everybody knows that, the 72 Dolphins. Went 2-4 in Super Bowls, but I'll tell you, this is the most mind-boggling statistic with Don Shula. 1971, the Dolphins go to the Super Bowl. They lose to the Dallas Cowboys 24-3. They bounce back in 72, one defeated, 17-0, 14-7 win over the Washington Redskins. They get back to the Super Bowl in 73. They beat the Vikings 24-7. So they go to three straight Super Bowls. In those 3 years, Shula's Dolphins went 42-5-1. Think about that. You know, we talk about the 72 season, which is historical. We've never seen it done again. It's only been done one time. But in 3 years, he went to three Super Bowls, and his teams went 42-5-1. I mean, that's incredible when you think about it. And so Shula had that success in the 70s. He had the success in the 60s with the Colts. Then he takes the Dolphins to two Super Bowls in 3 years in the 80s. Don Shula is one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL, and sadly today he has passed away at the age of 90. That's a quick look at everything that's happening right now on the national sports front. We're going to break for just a moment. Local sports recap coming up. And then again on the show today, we're going to talk NBA basketball with Jamison Welsh. She'll join us in just a moment. And we're going to bring in Alex Hayden of the Motor Racing Network. And we'll talk about resuming the NASCAR season. That's all straight ahead right here on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports.
The Toronto Raptors select. DeMar DeRozan from the University of Southern California.
And gets that to go. What a game DeRozan's having. He's got 29.
DeMar DeRozan, you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscanini. Won't you follow me into the
jungle? We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. And of course, on Monday, we always have an NBA basketball conversation. Over the last couple of weeks, it has centered around the Last Dance documentary, which again, we got parts 5 and 6 last night, 7 and 8 coming up this Sunday. Joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have Jamison Welsh, our Drive Time Sports insider. Jamison, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the time again.
Doing well. How's everything going on your end?
Not too bad. Things are slowly but surely getting back to normal. But again, one thing is for certain right now with no national sports, we do have the Last Dance to rely on every Sunday night. Last night, episodes 5 and 6, and Jamison, I really enjoyed this set of episodes. Going back to last night, we did get an opportunity to see a little bit more of the less than wholesome side of Michael Jordan, which is something I was somewhat looking for, just to see the way it would be portrayed in this particular documentary. We got to see that last night.
Oh, without a doubt. And also, you know, the thing is, when you have people that are that successful, you're not going to have the everything was roses story. It doesn't really work that way. You have a situation to where you have a guy that, you know, he was possessed and he was winning at all costs. And we've seen a handful of athletes have that kind of drive and determination. But we already know when you have a guy that is hell-bent on winning, he's going to do whatever it takes. And that's what he did.
I am happy that a lot of the Jordan fans, and there is no doubt that this was ever going to be a question, but the Jordan fans can look past these flaws. That's part of the reason why we love Michael Jordan, right? Because of his demeanor out on the court, that killer instinct. I don't think that you can really overstate it. None of these stories seem too far blown out of proportion, but we did get a look into the Jordan rules, and if there are basketball fans out there who have not read the Jordan rules, I definitely recommend it. It's a fantastic read. But on top of everything else, you really got to see, it gives you the insight as to what drives this guy away from the basketball court. It was competition all day. It didn't matter if it was a dollar game of blackjack with Will Perdue or Bill Cartwright, whoever it was at that table, or if we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars with Ron Harper. This guy just loves to win.
Gotta win, and that's the thing. You can't turn it off. It's something that you either are or you're not. That's something you just can't flip on when the basketball's going on. That's just who you are, whatever facet of life. That's why sport's such a great thing, Jordan, because the earlier you know that, the better off you are, because it goes in all facets of your life. If you have a job or a career, or if there's accomplishments you're trying to get taken care of, you want to win at all costs. You don't want to go, oh, I'll get them next time, or oh, I'll do it down the line. Like, no, you have to attack everything with your best. And that's why Kobe, with the mama mentality situation, it's more than just a fadeaway jump shot or getting a defensive stop. It's attacking that, using that in your everyday life. So when you're trying to, you know, make sure your radio station's the best in the state, you have a certain mentality, a certain attitude you carry yourself with to make sure those standards are met. When it comes to making sure that other things in your life are up to stuff, that's the attitude you take. And that's the same thing Michael Jordan. Everything he did was, hey, I'm competitive as anyone else. I have to win this. Whatever it takes, I have to win. And honestly, more people need to have that mentality, because too many people have the, I'll get it next time, or I'll do it later. Nah, do it now.
We did get to see Kobe Bryant going into episode 5. Very short. It was not a whole lot on Kobe, but it did focus around the 98 All-Star game. Kobe performed beautifully in that game, as well as a 19-year-old kid. He finished with 18 points and 6 rebounds in that contest. Scott Van Pelt, I thought, did a terrific monologue following episode 6 last night, where he talked about, obviously, the impact that Kobe had on Michael Jordan, right? We always talk about the impact that Michael had on Kobe. Jameson, I don't think you can overstate the fact that Kobe also had a big impact on Michael Jordan, and we got to see that firsthand at Kobe Bryant's memorial service. That's the first and only time you've seen a vulnerable Michael Jordan, which speaks volumes, right? So we can flip this. Yes, MJ definitely played a big role into what Kobe would go on to accomplish, but in the same sense, I do believe that Jordan took a little bit of pride knowing that, look, I'm the big brother in this situation.
That, and also, so here's the thing, like the Chicago gym in the offseason, that's where guys got better at, you know, guys scrimmaged and played with Michael and whatnot. The Mamba Academy was becoming the same thing. You know, a lot of guys came and worked out with Kobe to get better. And that's why whenever people want to say who the best is and, who's better than who, no one present day had that situation. Jamal Murray wasn't going to anyone else but Kobe. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, like all these great players are going to Kobe for instruction to get better. And these guys got max contracts, not like they're high school guys or college guys. These are all guys with big contracts that are set for life financially, but they want to get better. There's only one person in the world to go get better from, and that's Kobe. And that's why, like, he's the master. Yeah, but you got to learn that someone has to teach you that, and that's what MJ was to him. And that's the one sad thing about Kobe passing, is who is he passing that down to? And that's the unfortunate part, because there's really no one else he can really pass that down to, because that's where things get lost. But there's so many different hidden gems and gifts that Kobe gave guys and MJ gave him. And that's how it's supposed to be. The game is supposed to evolve, just like the tips to get better are supposed to evolve as well.
Jameson Welsh, again, our guest right now. Do not forget episodes 7 and 8 coming up on ESPN this weekend. I got to get your take on things that are happening right now. We've seen the rumors pop up that potentially Las Vegas is now offering some MGM property to the NBA. This is nothing that we didn't already know, but when you finally see some news stories start popping up, it does spring a little bit of hope, right? And so I know you're right in the heart of Las Vegas. What are the odds of this actually happening?
there's a big shot. If the NBA is going to come back this season, there's a big shot of this happening because you have several different venues in the area. You have hotels where they can literally quarantine a whole hotel if necessary, or a portion of a hotel if necessary. So this can very well happen. The MGM and the NBA already have a relationship due to Summer League and all the money behind that, and also with the gambling information. So it's not like it's some random idea. You know, if the NBA is going to come to Vegas, MGM is going to be a part of it. And it leads to the future. It leads to what happens when things get back on track. Eventually, there's going to be a team in Vegas one way, somehow, just based off of the arena and the situation here. So it makes sense to, if you have a location where you need to keep a bunch of teams for a certain period of time, why not Vegas? Because everything is close. You can quarantine. You can keep track of a lot of different things. It makes sense.
I know that Disney World was another possible location that was thrown out, and Disney, obviously, with ESPN, this would make sense as well. It's another viable option. I know it's on the opposite side of the country, and I'm not too in-depth with everything that's happening as far as the coronavirus down south going back to Florida. But really, outside of those two locations, nothing else has really popped up. So it would seem like a long shot for Disney World, but the most likely being Las Vegas.
Vegas is definitely the leader in the clubhouse. You can do L.A. However, L.A. is kind of congested. It's not as easy to get around. With Vegas, you can play at UNLV. You can have games at MGM. You can have games at T-Mobile. There's things you can do, and it's a lot easier to navigate and get around town because not as many people in Vegas as there is L.A. Vegas would be the easiest one. But here's the thing, Jordan. There's so many hoops they got to go through just to get to that point. And if they can't guarantee safety, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to continue the season. Like, we're already in May. As this keeps on going on, we don't have a definitive answer by June 1st. I don't see a season coming back. I know they've already pushed back, in a sense, next season. But this season is going to be very difficult because it's already May and nothing is solid. Nothing is looking like a full go. Whatever solution they're going to have, if they do have one, is going to be very risky because the moment someone gets it again, you got to shut down sports again. So we'll see what happens. I hope for the best, but it's not looking that great right now.
Yeah, you know, one of the big telling dates, I think, is going to be around May 15th. Because there's the report that facilities will open back up in some locations on May 8th. I know they pushed that date back 7 days. So if you take May 15th, that gives us a week to just see how things are actually shaping out. To me, that's going to be the important date. Middle of May, we're going to find out if we get a season or not.
Yeah, middle to end of May, I agree. We'll know by June 1st. Like June 1st.
No doubt.
Because you got to have guys get a training camp. Because I've heard, talk to people and like guys are getting out of shape. It's not whenever you have guys off for 2 months, it's not a really good situation. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, we'll know by middle, end of May. By June 1st, we'll know which direction. However, the biggest issue is this, like the money part is so big and the NBA can't lose the kind of money they're forecast to lose if there's no season. So there's so many things going into play here. And also the salary cap. What happens to the salary cap? What happens with the rosters that already are up against the cap? A lot of questions that need to be answered that we don't have the answer to right now.
We'll end with this, Jameson. I got to get your take on the G League pathway. I know we are limited on time. So your thoughts, we're seeing kids bypass the college game. They're going to go to the G League pathway. They have an opportunity to earn quite a bit of money. I am curious to see how this will work in the years to come. Maybe this is the perfect year for it, knowing that the NBA draft has been pushed back. Next season's going to be pushed back. So if we're looking ahead into 2021, maybe this is the perfect opportunity for these kids to actually try this. Timing may be right. But nonetheless, I'm curious as to your thoughts on it.
Well, here's the thing, Jordan. It's not for all the kids. It's for some. Like, it's for basically the 1% of the 1%. You know, it's basically every year you may have 10 guys that are realistic for this option. You know, maybe in that, and some years may not even have that many. However, it's a good option to have. It's not the answer, but it's a good, you know, hey, if you want to go a different route, here you go, because what happens is when you got three guys in your top 20 going overseas to play basketball professionally and robbing your base clients of seeing their progression, that's not good for business. Like at the end of the day, The NBA is a business, and college basketball is a business as well. You don't want to see guys that would normally be in college and are eventually going to be in the NBA. You don't want to see their season before that overseas. That should never happen. LaMelo Ball shouldn't have to go overseas. The other kid that went over there with him shouldn't have to go over there. The kid Armstrong from Arizona, he shouldn't have to go there. They should not have to do that. However, they did because they felt that that was the situation for them monetary-wise. However, there are certain benefits that college does offer. And I'm not even talking education-wise because that gets really tied up in a lot of schools. Advise guys to take, you know, easy majors so they can pass class and be eligible. I'm not going to get into that because education can go a lot of different ways. However, marketing is the best thing college basketball has to offer for players because you're on television, especially if you go to a larger college. You're on television pretty much twice a week at minimum. And that's the thing that no one ever talks about. That marketing is huge for guys. Now, the Zion's different, but Trae Young, Ja Morant, the average person didn't know about those guys prior to college. They didn't. You know, they didn't. Now, my thing about the G League is how are they going to market these guys? What kind of platform are they going to be playing on? Are they going to be streamed? Are they going to be on live TV? It's going to be interesting to see. But the college basketball with the situation currently constructed, Jordan, is their marketing, their ability to put guys on television every night of the week if necessary. That's something that other leagues just don't have at this point.
Jamison Welsh again, he joins us every Monday for an NBA basketball conversation. Jamison, it's always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me as always.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. And again, we're live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Hey, this is Eric Amarola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
Let's talk NASCAR here on Drive Time Sports. Coming up on May 17th, we'll get the return to the track, and we'll get NASCAR Cup Series racing right back here on KOAL. It's been a long time. We got four races down before the suspension in the season, and now NASCAR is going to return with a very hectic schedule. And joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have Alex Hayden, longtime play-by-play announcer for the Motor Racing Network. Alex, always a pleasure. Thank you again for joining us.
No, yeah, absolutely. Glad to do it. Thanks for having me on the program. Sadly, we have lots of time on our hands, but hopefully that'll change here in the near future.
Yeah, we got some great news last week. The revised schedule, we're going to get a lot of Cup Series racing, it seems like, in a very short period of time, which is really great news. I mean, maybe just a taste of the norm. That's what we can expect, right, as we get set for the middle of May now is what it looks like.
Yeah, it's the 17th of May is when we're going to get things going again at Darlington Raceway in South Carolina. You know, race cars on the racetrack, that's what we're all kind of waiting for. And no, there won't be any fans, and that's a bummer for sure. But to get cars on the track at least, that's step one in this whole process of trying to get back to normal. So at least the state of South Carolina is opening back up. As a matter of fact, today restaurants and other shopping centers and stores are all opening up today in South Carolina. So by the time we get down there to go racing on the 17th, we hope things are going to be a lot better off. So 17th is when the first race is, and that's a Sunday afternoon. We'll go back on Tuesday in Darlington to run after that the Xfinity Series. And then the very next day on the Wednesday night, we'll run another Cup race at Darlington. So lots of racing getting ready to take place.
Yeah, definitely. Again, as you pointed out, May 17th in Darlington, May 20th as far as the Cup Series is concerned, with the Xfinity Series falling in between. And Alex, I know for a very long time, fans of the sport have really wanted to see some midweek racing, right? I mean, this is something that fans have talked about for a little while. So in a sense, they will get their wish.
Absolutely. And there's a hefty margin of people that want to see midweek night racing. We're going to find out if it's going to work or not. No, again, there won't be fans in the stands. So what would the turnout be for race fans to go to a midweek night race? We'll wait and see how that plays out eventually in the future. But for right now, we'll find out just how interested people are in seeing midweek primetime NASCAR racing. I, for one, think it's a good thing. I think we're going to see lots of turnout on the radio side of things and also on the television side of things. And then if we do choose to run on a midweek Cup race, a night race in the future where race fans can show up, I think we're going to have a great crowd for that, too.
Yeah, well, let's talk about first off, the teams, and now that we know that we're getting racing back and they've had a little bit of head time here as to when they're actually going to return to the track, have you got a sense as to what preparation has been like since the announcement was made that, hey, May 17th, we're back and rolling?
It's all hands on deck at the race shops. I've texted with a couple of crew chiefs and some of my buddies on some of these teams, and it has been all hands on deck. They've got to get race cars prepared because they've been basically sitting still for a month or so, and they did not have Darlington-type race cars prepared and ready to go. So that's the big thing. You got to get Darlington cars prepared. Not one, not two, not three, but four of them, because you better have a backup car just in case. So we'll see how this plays out. And then, obviously, they got to have Charlotte race cars ready to go as well, because the way this works, if we'd have been on a regular schedule, they'd have just gotten to the Charlotte cars to get them started to be prepped about this time where we're at right now in the calendar. We're way behind right now as far as getting cars prepared for certain racetracks. So this is going to be one of those where the employees at the race shops are going to have a huge impact on the success on these first couple of race weekends.
You were talking about getting a backup car set up and talking about three to four different cars. How does the schedule of racing Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday affect the Cup Series in that regard?
Well, there's not going to be any staying in Darlington. You're going to drive over, and from the Charlotte area where the majority of these teams are based, it's only about a two-hour drive, so it's not bad at all. Just drive to Darlington. Now, the first race weekend on the 17th, race day, I should say, on the 17th, they are going to show up, unload, and start the race on points. And there's not going to be any practice laps. There's not going to be any qualifying. Literally unload, run the cars through technical inspection, make sure everything's legal on every race car, and then line up and go race. We're going to run 400 miles. That is the plan for the first race on the 17th. It is subject to change, however, when we get back to Darlington a couple of days later on the 20th, because everything is fluid. It's a learning curve. If teams demand that they need some practice time, then NASCAR may grant them that. There's been a scenario tossed around that they'll get 30 minutes of practice time on Wednesday the 20th and potentially take your fastest practice lap and make that your qualifying lap. There's a lot of different scenarios that are being talked about, but until we get through race number one on the 17th, we're not really sure what's going to happen. All we know for sure right now on the 17th is we're going to show up, no practice, no qualifying, and we're going to set them by points and go race 400 miles. Now, keep in mind, when we go back to Darlington on the 20th, that Wednesday night, it's going to be a 500-kilometer race, which means it's going to be 310 miles around Darlington Raceway. That's a relatively quick Cup Series race. So the strategy is going to be playing out much different on that as well, and that's where the crew chiefs and engineers really better be on their game.
Again, Alex Hayden joining us right now as we talk about the return of NASCAR. Do not forget, you'll be able to follow NASCAR live right here on KOAO, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, May 17th, back at it May 20th for another Cup Series race. Alex, as far as the preparation is concerned, look, we could talk about a broadcast standpoint. Boy, this got thrown at you, I would assume, relatively quick, didn't it? Or did you expect this announcement?
Well, there were some rumblings over the last week and a half that we would get back to racing a little quicker than a lot of people may have projected. There was a lot of people thinking it was going to be mid-June before we could get back to the racetrack. And it all depended on the governments of certain states. Keep in mind, NASCAR, much like the PGA Tour, is much different than stick-and-ball type sports. We don't have home games. Therefore, we have to go to these racetracks in states and or cities where they're actually open for business. First thing first is the race teams themselves, they had to be declared eligible to be open for business to get back to work in the state of North Carolina. That was granted last week. And then we found out that the state of South Carolina has opened up for business. We talked about that a moment ago. So it made sense. Darlington Raceway, a quick two-hour drive from the Charlotte area, the state is open for business. Let's go ahead and start racing and get back to it there in Darlington. Then the governor of North Carolina elected to to say, yes, Memorial Day weekend in May, we can, in fact, race at Charlotte without race fans. So that kind of fell into place as well. We're waiting to hear what Virginia is going to do, as well as Tennessee, because of Martinsville and Bristol, respectively, before we go on to Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta is another one of those tracks that's potentially going to be made up here on the near future schedule. And then we'll find out where we go from there, potentially down to Homestead, Florida. So there's a lot on the table right now, but it, again, is all dependent on when these states are going to actually be open for business.
Alex, let me ask you this question. You mentioned stick and ball, you know, basketball, baseball. Are we going to get a return to the NBA season? Are we going to see the start of the Major League Baseball season anytime soon? I believe the answer to both those questions would be yes, but with no fan involvement. Now, you're going to get to see this again on the 17th, no fan involvement. How does that affect NASCAR at all, or does it? I mean, is it kind of like a meaningless little quip when we talk about returning to the track and there being no fans?
Well, yes and no. That's a tough one because realistically, nobody really knows how this is going to involve NASCAR as far as is it going to be good or is it going to be bad. I choose to take the half full glass, if you will. I think it's going to be a good thing. And the reason I think so is because we're going to be the first major sport to get back at it. Yes, we're going to do it without race fans, but we're still going to be doing it with live sports on the radio, live sports on television. So I think we're going to get ahead of the stick and ball sports and kind of flood the market. And in my idea, and the way I choose to look at it, we have an opportunity here, a golden opportunity to grow the sport with potential new fans, because baseball fans, basketball fans, hockey fans, whomever you might be a fan of, you're not able to watch your sport live. Well, you're going to see live sports for the first time in about 45 days. And the chances are we're going to see a lot of new eyes and ears paying attention to NASCAR racing here, especially that first week in Darlington, followed by the second week in Charlotte. So I think this is going to be a good thing for our sport in the long run. Now, yeah, it's going to be weird without any race fans in the stands, but if this is what it takes to try to get back at it, then let's do it.
No question. And before I let you go, we have to take a look at the series standings as well, the Cup Series standings, because, again, as you mentioned, it's been close to 50 days since we have seen some NASCAR action. So for those who are unaware, Joey Logano got off to a stellar start to this season. He's got 163 points, a couple of wins under his belt, and then it goes Alex Bowman, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, and Chase Elliott. That's a look at the top five right there. Curious as to your thoughts as the way the first four races of the season played out.
Well, now that we're where we're at with our country and the globe, for that matter, given the circumstances that we're at, how big were those two wins in the first four races for Joey Logano? He's locked into the playoffs later in the year. So even though we've been kind of on hold for the last 45 days, this is huge for Logano. It's also huge for other teams that have already gotten wins as well, like a Denny Hamlin, for instance. And when you look at it this way, that means no matter if they have a rusty start getting back at the racetrack and getting things going again, if they don't have the momentum that they had earlier, at least they know they're playoff eligible and they're going to be racing for a championship this year. So I think it gives them a pretty good mulligan, if you will, if you want to use a golf term there. If you're a team that did not win those first handful of races, obviously you want to be able to get a good start right now. I see this as a golden opportunity for some of those teams to jump out because it's an even playing field. Nobody's been able to work on their race cars. Nobody's been testing. Nobody's been doing anything but basically sitting around waiting for the track to open back up. So if you're a team that might be underfunded, maybe looking for a sponsor, you can get out and have a good day at Darlington, one of these first two Darlington races. You could set the table and set the tone for the rest of your season in a positive manner. So I think there's some big momentum to be gained here by teams that stumbled out of the gate. However, if you're Logano, Denny Hamlin, those other guys who won already this year, I think you're in a pretty good position as well.
I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I'm going to throw another question at you as far as a shortened race at Darlington, okay? Who does that benefit in your mind? Because it's something like we haven't seen before, right? 310 miles at Darlington. Who does that benefit? Is there anyone in your mind that you say, look, this plays right into his alley?
Yeah, you know, tires are going to be important at Darlington. They always are. That track is kind of like sandpaper, and it just eats the tires up. So to win at Darlington in the general, the normal 500-mile race, you have to be very, very ginger on the throttle and not spin the tires and wear them out too soon. So to me, there's a handful of drivers that are just outstanding at saving their tires. One of them actually is Denny Hamlin. Hamlin is fantastic at that. He has just a knack of laying out of the throttle and rolling out of it, getting into the corner much sooner than everybody else, which prevents the car from sliding. That also gives him the advantage of being able to get back on the accelerator mid-corner and beat the competition down the straightaway. So I think Denny Hamlin's in the catbird seat with these shorter races, because even though it is a shorter race, and especially this first one on the 17th, you're starting by points. So if you didn't get off to a good start, you're going to be at the back of the field, and it's going to force you to drive your car a little bit harder and potentially overdrive the race car and get yourself in some trouble. I think that affords the luxury to guys like Denny Hamlin. I think Kevin Harvick is in that boat as well. He's another one of those drivers that really knows how to save his tires.
Alex Hayden, again of the Motor Racing Network, taking out the time to join us. Alex, I always look forward to the conversations. I really appreciate you taking out the time to join us once again. Before I let you go, I got to let you throw out the Twitter account and everything else that the listeners need in order to follow you and stay up with some NASCAR news.
Yeah, Twitter, all of social media, I'm at the Alex Hayden. So it's real simple. Regular Alex Hayden was taken by a comic book character, believe it or not. So I took a page out of some of the other folks on Twitter and put T-H-E, D Alex Hayden. That's where you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Snap, any of those. It's all the same, at the Alex Hayden.
Alex, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time, and hopefully we talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much for having me on.
Always fun to have Alex Hayden here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to break one last time. We'll return and put the final touches on this edition of the show when we return.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down the drain.
We're back to close out another edition of Drive Time Sports. You know, this past Saturday, it's typically my favorite day of the year for sports. The first Saturday of May. We typically get the Kentucky Derby, a marquee boxing match, and the NBA playoffs. I absolutely love the first Saturday of May. We didn't get any of that over the weekend. And I know we've gone, 50 days, 50-something days without sports, but I really felt it on Saturday. There's no boxing match to watch. It was the 5-year anniversary of Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao over the weekend. And again, no Kentucky Derby and no NBA basketball. So NBC, they didn't let go of the Kentucky Derby coverage. Instead, there was a 3-hour telecast. And I don't know if you watched this or not, but they went through 2015 when American Pharoah became the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years. They showed a lot of the coverage from 2015, and then they had a virtual simulated race. It put all 13 horses that have won the Triple Crown in the Derby to determine the victor. Secretariat was the 7-2 favorite. You couldn't bet on this, but if you're going to have horse racing, you got to have odds, right? The two go hand in hand. So Secretariat was the 7-2 favorite. Seattle Slough, who won the Triple Crown in 77, led much of the way, and then in the stretch, Secretariat made his move, and he took home the virtual crown. Yes, it was fun, but it definitely didn't compare to a real Kentucky Derby. Typically, you know, we get anywhere from 15 to 20 horses. But it got me thinking, this completely changes horse racing in general. You know, and I know we typically only pay attention to horse racing when we're talking about the Triple Crown, but it's going to be very, very strange moving forward. We get the Belmont, followed by the Travers, and then the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky Derby right now is scheduled to take place in September. Later on in the week, we're going to talk about this virtual horse race, how the 13 Triple Crown winners would fare. We'll talk about the new schedule as far as, again, the Belmont and the Travers coming before the Kentucky Derby in 2020. What a crazy, bizarre year it's been. It really hit me on Saturday, though. And no Derby, no boxing, no NBA playoffs. NBA 2K is also doing a virtual simulation of the NBA playoffs. And we're down to the final four teams. Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, Celtics. No big surprises there. I guess, you know, I would rather watch virtual simulations than watch professional athletes play these video games. But I do believe we are on the verge of getting some real sports back relatively soon. Definitely have to give a shout-out thank you to Alex Hayden for taking out the time to join the show today. And, of course, Jamison Welsh, who joins us every Monday. We got a great week lined up for you here on Drive Time Sports. Tomorrow, scheduled to join us new Emory golf coach Casey Edgehouse. That'll be on the show tomorrow. Later on in the week, we have some baseball talk. There is a rumor floating around that July 1st may, in fact, be opening day with teams playing in their home ballparks. That's a rumor that is circulated online and on Twitter. No one has really confirmed that yet. Hopefully by Wednesday, we'll know if this is legit or not. We'll have a baseball conversation with Bill Lasky as well. So plenty of great stuff coming up throughout the week right here on Drive Time Sports. Have a terrific day. I will catch you tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.